Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549, the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our call to worship is hymn number 703. May you always be joyful in your life in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude towards all. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 458. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Hymn number 458, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Gracious God, we are so thankful that you brought us here this morning to come and worship you. And Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for that. And God, I would ask that as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, that we also bring the needs and requests of family members, of friends, of fellow patients throughout this medical center, of the staff that is working here today, of the family members that will be visiting. Lord, in the same way that we pray for ourselves, Lord, we ask that you would hear the prayers of all that are here today throughout this medical center. And God, we just come before you trying to figure out the different challenges that we're facing, the physical needs that we have, the emotional needs we have, the spiritual needs we have. Lord, we just come before you. God, we need healing. And you know of the things that we need healing of in our lives. And God, we just come before you in that spirit, looking for healing, looking for you to work in our lives in a very special way. And God, we are just so thankful at this chapel that we have this opportunity to worship you freely as we choose. And God, I just praise you. And I'm so thankful for all the servicemen and women that have served this country in the past, in the present, and Lord, those that will be serving in the future that have guaranteed these freedoms that we have in this nation. And we thank you for that. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 457. My hope is built on nothing less. 457. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly live on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his loving face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covered up his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Trust in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, beginning with verse 9. Then he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to tenant farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a slave to the farmers so that they might give him some fruit from the vineyard. But the farmers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent yet another slave, but they beat that one too, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third, but they wounded this one too, and threw him out. The owner of the vineyard said, What should I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenant farmers saw him, they discussed it among themselves and said, This is the heir. Let's kill him, so the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those farmers and give the vineyard to others.
But when they heard this, they said, "No, never." But he looked at them and said, "That what is the meaning of this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected, this has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and if it falls on anyone, it will grind him to powder." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are just so thankful that we've had this wonderful opportunity to worship you by the hymns that we have sung, the scriptures that we have read, the prayers that we have offered. And Lord, I would ask that you would just continue that presence, that you would help me say the things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you in each step in our lives. Help me now, I pray, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, as we talked about last week, I am endeavoring to give a series of sermons about parables. And I shared with you last week that parable basically means something that goes alongside of us in terms of understanding that story. And what's always good about parables is they give us a picture in words in terms of what's going on. And then, of course, Christ always provides the answers if we have trouble understanding what the parable means. And last week, we specifically talked about the fact that Jesus said for us to hear and to listen what is being said. In the same way, today, we need to hear and listen to what's being said from the Word of God. So what does the parable mean? Well, who do you think the landowner represents? The answer should be God. What do you think the vineyard represents? The answer is the kingdom of God. What do you think the tenants represent? The answer, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. And I would say also perhaps the religious leaders in our day. What do you think the servants represent, or slaves? The prophets. Who is the son in the parable? The answer is Jesus. And then who do you think the new tenants would be to this vineyard? The answer is the church made up of Jews and Gentiles. So then what is Jesus saying directly to you and to me? That God gives us opportunities again and again for us to be established in a firm foundation, one that is rests on Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of our lives. The cornerstone. The most important stone of any building, of any construction, that first stone that lays the foundation. And specifically, when we talk about foundations, I think what's important to realize that spiritually, you and I have the presence of God in our lives if we have accepted Christ as our Savior. You and I are a temple in which God resides, the temple of our own individual lives spiritually. And you and I need to have a strong foundation with our own temple that we have in which the presence of God through the Holy Spirit resides. And that temple needs to be based on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and that alone. But yet Christ tells this parable to the religious leaders of his day and also to the disciples that you will be given multiple opportunities. But if you continue to reject God, eventually God will reject you. And I titled the sermon this morning, Living with Rejection. God does not want us to live with rejection in our lives. He wants us to live with his love, with his grace, and with his forgiveness. All of us have experienced some form of rejection in our lives. And usually when we feel rejected, it's something that we really love, it's something that really we care for, it's something that we just want to be a part of, but yet whatever that person, place, or thing is, rejects us for who we are. and it hurts. And we hurt God when we reject Him in our lives. The things that He's trying to do within our own individual lives, the conscience that He gives us, the Holy Spirit that He gives us, that leads us, that provides for us direction. And yet when we reject that, we are hurting God. And God has said here in the Scriptures through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you can only reject God so many times before you will fall, before you will stumble, before you will be broken to pieces, before you will be ground to powder. Because the cornerstone is to provide for us life. The cornerstone of Jesus Christ is there to give us the living reflection in terms of how we are to walk daily with God. Because God has entrusted you and I with the responsibility of providing the fruit in our lives as fellow Christians, as fellow followers of Jesus Christ. And you and I can be like the tenants, looking for opportunities to take advantage of the situation, even taking advantage perhaps in our relationship with God. And God says, no, you are not to do that. You have a responsibility if you are the tenants of my vineyard, if you have a temple in which the Holy Spirit resides, you have a responsibility to produce the fruit that I want you to produce. The good things in life. The righteousness that I want you to have. I was reading something earlier this week specifically dealing with what righteousness means. And the author gave this description. Righteousness means our fidelity to the Word of God. Fidelity. Our loyalty to the Word of God. Our lives in which we reflect the Word of God in all that we do. Things that bring honor to God. Fidelity to the Word of God. And we are practicing that in our daily lives. Practicing what we truly live for. What our loyalty truly is. If we love a thing, we become that thing. If we love nothing, we become nothing. And God tells us this morning that He wants to love us so much, and He wants us to follow His Son, Jesus Christ, in our daily lives. He wants us to love Him. And if we are familiar with what the commandments say, we are to love God first and foremost, right? And then we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So if we love God, if we truly proclaim that, if we truly believe that, I know I would say that I love God, but then I would go and do something that reflects the fact that maybe I don't love God. Does anybody else got a problem like that? I know I do. But yet God says, you know what? I know that you love me. I know that you have a relationship with my Son, Jesus Christ. But the things that you do, and I'm speaking to myself, the things that I do that reject the Word of God tells me that I'm not living the righteous life that God wants me to live. Because I'm not following His words. I'm not obeying His commands. I'm not responding to the Holy Spirit in my life when I want to serve my own selfishness, my own needs. When I am not providing that service and servanthood to other people. And God says to me, don't reject me. Don't reject me because of your own envy. Don't reject me because you think you can have more without me. Don't reject me because you feel that somehow you can find a better way, a different inheritance by following your own selfish desires. That is a warning to me. And I would suggest to you as well that it's a warning to you as well. Because God wants us to live a life in which we do those things that reflect who we are in Christ. For God has entrusted you and I with the responsibility of his kingdom, the Church of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, when God sent Jesus Christ to come here on earth to first to the people of Israel, to the Hebrews, he wanted to establish a kingdom of God with them, but they rejected him. And so then he went to everywhere else in the world to embrace that. And unfortunately, he ended up with the Church of Jesus Christ, in which all of the problems, with all of the failures, because what is the church made up of? People like you and me. But yet God says, you know what? I'm still going to work with you. I'm still going to be able to do those things in your life that bring honor to me, that spread the kingdom of God through all the world. And God gives us this command through his Son, Jesus Christ, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And the gospel is just more than just good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is his proclamation that he is the Son of God, and we are to listen to him. Because the kingdom of God that he has established is established through us. With all of our failures, all the things that we struggle with, God has set up his kingdom through his church, through you and I, and we are to respond accordingly. We are to embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are to truly do our best that we spiritually possibly can to love one another. And that doesn't mean that we're going to do it perfectly, but it means we keep trying again and again and again. If you are here in chapel this morning, if you are watching on our television system throughout this medical center, God is saying to you right now that I have not rejected you. I love you. I know that you have problems. I know of your sufferings. I know of the pain that you are in. And only I can provide the healing. Now, it may not be the healing that we want to have. I know there are some things in my life that, God, I hope that everything goes the way that I want it to, and I get certain things, and I become established in certain types of situations. And God doesn't usually do those things because he knows me better than I know myself. And in the same way, when we cry out to God, somehow asking God to take the circumstances that we find ourselves in away, and God says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use the situation that you're in right now so that you can draw closer to me, so that you can respond in prayer that you need me, so that you can see the peace that I truly can provide to you. And if I take this circumstance that you're currently in away from you, you will not find that peace that you want to have. You will not find that answer that you are looking for. So I think many times when we think about our relationship with God, we should ask ourselves this one question: how do we see God? How do we understand God working in our life? Because how we see God is really how we understand God. And perhaps I need to see God in a different way. Perhaps you need to see God in a different way. Perhaps I need to understand God in a different way. Perhaps you need to understand God in a different way. And the only way that I know how to enter into that possibility is to find time to worship, to respond in fidelity to the Word of God, to study it more, to sing praises to God, to pray to God, to allow God to work through me in a way that I never thought was possible. And it's only possible when we put ourselves to the side and we allow God to increase in our lives the way that He wants to, through the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. For you and I, as we have responded to Jesus Christ in our life, He is built upon you and me, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are the temple in which God resides. You are the temple in which Christ is the cornerstone. As you have accepted Jesus Christ as His personal Savior, you are in that temple with the cornerstone resting on Jesus Christ. And God wants you to come and worship. The worship that we do personally. The worship that we do when things are quiet and things are still. That worship time that's only between you and God, and He just wants you to draw closer to Him. He wants us to build a temple that brings honor to Him and that brings others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as we have acquired that same saving knowledge. He doesn't want anyone to be broken into pieces. He does not want anyone to be ground into powder. He wants each and every one of us to respond to His love that He has for us. It is my hope and prayer that when we think about the times that we are living with rejection, it's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live with that acceptance that we find in our lives through Him. It's living a life that brings holiness and righteousness and understanding and fellowship the way that God wants us always to be. Because we know that the presence of God is there with us in our own individual lives. Because God has said it to be that way. That when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit is there with us. And then we have the teachings of Jesus Christ through the parables that walk alongside of us. The word pictures in terms of how He wants us to live our lives in truth, trusting God in all things, even though it is difficult for us to do that, in faith believing the things that God says, it is up to me and my will for your life. So it is my hope and prayer that as we go forth this day, as we think about where our relationship is with God, if we have rejected Him, or whether we have that cornerstone of Jesus Christ in our own individual temples and living the life that God wants us to live, it is my hope that we truly see and understand that God does love us and accept us just for who we are right now, today. And He is not rejecting you. His loving arms of embrace is there with us, is there with us right now, in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we think about the fact that we have a wonderful opportunity to publicly acknowledge what is the cornerstone in our lives, what we have built upon, and what we can build upon in the future. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, there have been times that we have rejected You in our lives, and we wanted to go our own way because of our own pride, our own selfish desires, the things that we just thought were better for ourselves. Lord, You give us opportunities to come to you again and again. But God, we know that those opportunities will not last forever. Lord, forgive us for our rejection of you. Forgive us when you have sent people in our lives to remind us of who we are as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, how we should live our lives, how we should conduct ourselves, how that we are to be righteous in our fidelity to your word and your teachings. Lord, we are just open right now to your healing. God, there have been things that we've wanted to be taken from our lives, the struggles that we've had. But God, you have kept them there for us because we learn so much more about our relationship with you when we have those challenges. But Lord, we need healing. And God, I just call upon that healing of those very special needs that we all have, that would be touched by your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for this time of communion that we can have to be a testimony of who we are in you. In Christ's name, amen. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 445. "More About Jesus I Would Know."
More about Jesus.
Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to worship you today. And God, I would ask that you would just help us to go forth understanding the things that you want us to respond to in our lives, to constantly build the temple that you've given us, because we don't want to reject the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Okay.
Holy name, bless the Lord my soul.